Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, I'm back, Pete Donaldson, back in my editing room, compiling a compendium of the very best ramble moments from the 2016-2017 season. I want to say a big thanks once again to Linford Grimes for the blueprint, so to speak. He has been indispensable in putting this together. He piled through a load of shows back in the day, pulled out his favourite bits, and then we did the same, but working from his compendium of his favourite bits. So this is kind of like super refined. This is like homeopathic levels of quality right here, and I'm sure you can agree when you listen to them. We kick off today's collection of noises from the 2016-17 season with an email from Steve at hotmail.com, an email sent mere weeks before Marcus's wedding. This is a long one, so settle in. And it's basically a man looking for a bit of advice.
Okay.
Steve, hi, boys. Though this email is only sort of connected to football, I thought your long history of being unofficial agony uncles to the football-loving listeners might serve you in good stead when dispensing advice. Basically, a close friend is getting married soon, and me and his circle of friends and colleagues are all excited about a great man entering the next stage of this thing we call life. Anyway, we're all alarmed to hear that although we hang out with this chap at least three times a week, text back and forth every single day, and although we're invited to the wedding itself, we were not invited to the stag do. At the stag do in question, they saw some comedy, they went to the football, and they all
also indulged in the time-honoured sport of laser tag. With the impending nutshells on the horizon, we are obviously upset about not being invited to Quizzer Laser because he loved Quizzer Laser and just wondered if the Ramble had any advice. I don't want to be forced into a situation where I stand up and object in church, but I am more than willing to do so because my soul is in turmoil. Any guidance willingly accepted, Steve. P.S. The groom is a little hairy boy.
Very clever.
Steve, that was Steve at hotmail.com. So.
Yeah, there's a hosting article.
Have the names been changed in that?
Just No, maybe. They didn't mention who it was, to be honest, the name.
It would be nice to know, but I understand if we can't know.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, the situation is absolutely maddening at Arsenal with the transfers. You know, everyone knows we need a striker. Everyone knows we need a defender. And I don't
Takuma
know.
Takuma Asano.
Such a wonderful phrase.
But yeah, so a friend of mine made a really good point about how ridiculous our transfers are. After Leon rejected a bid for Lacazette from West Ham, we then put in a lower bid. after that. Like, what are we doing? This is just making it up as they go along. It's absolutely phenomenal.
I love the idea of Leon just starting to CC Arsenal into their responses to West Ham.
You're not bidding for business. We could do it for cheaper. This is not how it works.
Player of the year, which Premier League club will go furthest in the Champions League?
Three relegated teams, of course.
How many willies
will be seen?
How many willies get caught in the helicopter of the drones?
I didn't want any willy categories because that's Pete's specialist subject, and I think it's unfair.
Yeah, well, that's a special one for Petey.
Before the Football Ramble started recording, you literally showed a video of me in the nude.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But you're,
that you have, I mean, on your
sorry,
phone.
Ryan, you're sorry. Very much what? Complicit in that, though,
sorry,
aren't you?
Yeah. What is your point? Is it anyone listening to this show has heard you for more than 5 minutes doesn't think you're the type of man who's naked quite a lot?
Yeah.
On camera.
Yeah. So. I can remember you two doing a video, you and Marcus.
Marcus
had to record it under a blanket, and one had the blanket over him so he couldn't see. You took all your clothes off.
And there was no one else there.
I also remember you resting your member on his shoulder while Marcus fell over saying, Pete, it's on you. Can I just say, my name's come up there a couple of times. Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen,
good night, everyone.
that I was always fully clothed. I wasn't complicit. I was disgusting.
Wasn't complicit. And I did not inhale. Pathetic.
Your Honour. Yeah. Your Honour.
And they didn't chase me, no matter how much I said they should.
I had sexual relations with that woman.
I did not get naked with those men.
In your Oval Office.
In my Oval Office.
Anyway, to sum up.
I tell you what, this is a cracker. This is a cracker. Hello, Gareth. He says, settle down, because it's a good one, and a long one. As masters of Keeganology, I suspect you may know the story of Keegan's 1974 trip to Belgrade already.
I don't.
No.
But I only recently discovered it myself, so just in case you don't, I thought I'd share, and I'm so glad you did. In 1974, England were due to play Yugoslavia as part of a European tour, so they flew to Belgrade from Bulgaria, where the last game had been played. At the time, Joe Mercer was caretaker manager, and it was safe to say that his attitude to players' behaviour and state of dress was somewhat informal.
Lovely stuff.
As a result, the plane ride was closer to what you'd expect from a stag do abroad rather than a professional football team, with the players in their best 70s fashion gear and the booze flowing. Although not for young Kevin Keegan, who slept through most of the flight.
Can I just say, I would love to have been on that flight.
Oh, can you imagine?
A little more finery.
Yeah. Puffing away on cigars.
Yeah. Perm.
Yeah.
Glorious. Everyone's smoking right down the flight. When they landed, the team discovered that the FA had forgotten that Sofia in Bulgaria and Belgrade were in different time zones, so their Yugoslavian minders weren't quite there yet. While Joe Mercer and the other FA officials went off to try and find them, the players waited in the baggage area. Bored, Alec Lindsay of Liverpool jumped up on the luggage conveyor belt and started mucking about, only to be told to get off by the other players. What they didn't know was that someone had already called security. Keegan, carrying two bags of souvenir pottery from Bulgaria...
You know where this is going.
..had done nothing more than sit down on the metal edge of the conveyor belt when Yugoslav security arrived and dragged him off to a back room. There, in his own words, he was forced to kneel like a prisoner of war while being punched, clubbed and kicked. He was then charged with sexually assaulting a stewardess, assaulting a security guard, disturbing the peace and causing an obstruction.
Life in jail. Life. You got life.
Luckily, by that point, the players had found Mercer and the FA, who themselves managed to find Keegan and alert security as to who he was. The charges were dropped, and an understandably sobbing Keegan was released. Next day, still played in the England game and scored a last-minute equaliser. Peak Keegan.
And then was punched.
Gareth, that was wonderful.
Excellent. Club. Brilliant. Gareth, you set Spelsy off.
He's done.
Spelsy's
done.
How many more of these are there?
Yeah.
I thought we knew all of them.
Dear. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your email. So we'll get
wrong.
To. If you want to get in touch,
you can't leave it there because Mark isn't ready.
All right, okay, I'll do one more. Tom Hodgson. I'm putting your mic down. Tom Hodgson from Gateshead says, a big hi to the lads at the Ramble. That's kind of what you do with an email, I suppose. My highlight of the week is Sheerness's Stuart Cruikshank taking a knock to the nose during a game. Luckily for him, a tampon was available to suppress the bleeding as he went on in style to score a blinder in a 5-0 victory in the East Sheppey Sunday League. I've attached a photo of Stuart in action, tampon and all. Everyone there agreed it was a bloody great game.
I'll be honest, I wasn't listening to that.
a man put a tampon up his nose.
Good man. Was it Keegan?
No, he wouldn't have put it out there himself.
No.
Was he beaten, kicked and clubbed?
Marcus, two bags of crockery.
Yeah. Probably
all smashed
to bits.
Smashed. Like a Greek wedding.
The most breakable of all the souvenirs.
Didn't realise until he got home, though.
No. Yeah.
I got you a present.
What do you mean you've left me? I genuinely do. I'm not just saying that to get you to buy it, although you should buy it.
Or pre-order it.
Yeah. Rory Fallow, this is the penultimate one, I think. He says, bought a coffee in the stadium and light before kickoff, and the exchange was as follows. Me, can I have a coffee with milk, please, mate? Him, yeah, would you like it black or white? Yeah, just a coffee with milk, please. Yeah, but do you want it black or white? And he finishes by saying, no wonder the club is in a fucking mess.
Absolutely brilliant.
And one more. It was very hard to find that. Next one up. I came like a hero and I left like a legend. Was that Eric Cantona?
I've had nights like that.
Was Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Peter.
No, legend.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not criminal.
Hang on. I thought you said crying librarian.
Naughty. What? Speaking of the here and now, Neil Warnock's off to a winning start at Cardiff City. Speaking of the old hat.
Warnock gets a lot of stick and not, you know, on this show included, and you know, fine, he is a little bit of a bit of a what's his name, but
if he gets out to get out of the league,
if he gets Cardiff promoted,
yeah,
that'll be his 8th career promotion.
That is impressive. That is amazing.
Impressive.
But he is a part of that classic group of English managers who have, you know, pretty decent record in the Championship, getting sides up to the Premier League, and when they get to the Premier League, they are exposed.
Yeah. Well, there were stories at QPR of how, you know, I forget which player it was, but there was someone who did an interview just talking about how he did, there were times where they'd look over at the dugout and he just didn't have a plan for when they were getting battered. And
I'll always have a certain amount of affection in my mind for Neil Warnock, because once on the radio, and I've got no particular beef with John Cross, the guy who writes for The Mirror anyway, but it was very funny. John Cross was trying to, he was saying something about Neil Warnock, and Neil Warnock was on the phone, and Warnock did the most amazing sort of absolutely brilliant, patronising of John Cross. He just kept going, yeah, but the thing about John, our John, he loves Arsenal, does our John. And when he talks about Arsenal, he talks very, very well. And we like listening to him talk about Arsenal because he loves Arsenal, John.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other stuff, other parts of football. Yeah. It was so funny.
He's got such a funny manner, Warnock, isn't
he? It was a really patronising, but at the same time, quite good-natured, big swinging of the dick around, saying, listen, I've worked in the game for 40 years, pal, you leave me out of it.
If Warnock was in the 70s, he'd probably have a league title to his name.
Yeah,
do you know
would,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And he is of yesteryear, and I do quite like that about him.
I just love the way he kept calling him our John.
I told you, yeah, that's class. I told you, didn't I? I met him once in a previous job, and he was managing Palace at the time. And he said, who do you support? And I thought, I thought to myself, oh, he'll love it if I say Palace and we'll have a little chat. So I just went, oh, you know, I sometimes go and watch Palace and all this sort of stuff, which is a lie. And
you lied to Neil Warnock.
Yeah. And he went, because he just took over at Palace, and the club wasn't in a particularly good state. And it was brilliant because it just fed into it, to all that kind of stuff. And he took over and I said, oh, yeah, someone's going to watch Palace Play. And he went, oh, well, have a bit of faith, son. Straight away. We're trying to sort it out. When I got in there, it was an absolute disgrace, but we're sorting it out now. You're going Saturday, are you? He was all like this. But I reckon that if I had an opinion on, like a proper opinion on stuff like that, he probably would have listened.
Yeah.
On Match of the or whatever league they were in, you know, the Football League Show, whatever it would have been at the time, he'd have been like, well, I was talking to this lad the other day and he said I should have put him on the wing. So actually, I gave it a go. It was all right.
Listen, lad, we're playing three at the back today. I spoke to a little chap, Al Marcus.
He's here today. I don't want to disappoint him.
Yeah, he loves Palace, as Al Marcus. He's never been.
The Spurs dropped points.
They did.
Away to West Brom. Although it was probably a point gain, obviously. It was
a
last-minute goal from Dele Alli. Dele Alli did miss a few chances, but you know that can happen because actually the goal he scored was very well done, considering that they were desperately looking for an equaliser. It's a lovely bit of craft from the young man. Chadley scoring against his old club,
yeah, standard.
That was just a proper boot as well into the roof of the net.
It was.
It's very satisfying, a roofed goal.
What about that thing Pulis said about Chadley?
I mean, we mentioned this in the Glasgow live show, but it's worth mentioning again. He absolutely startling admission on I think it was Radio 5 Live on Saturday. How he got Chadley to sign for West Brom. He got him down to the club to have a look and he took him out. And in Pulis's words, he gave him a load of wine, took him back to the training ground, and Chadley signed without knowing what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not going to be good wine either. Is it?
Yeah, Echo Falls or something.
Yeah.
That's surely tongue in cheek, though. I'm sure
he's overplaying that. Hopefully.
Can I just pull you up on something there, Jim? I think Pulis is more of a home wine guy.
You think he makes his own wine?
I think he might do, yeah.
Fortified wine.
I think he might do, yeah, in the basement or something.
I think that's a fair shout, actually.
Yeah.
Mm, he's crushing the grapes between forearm and
with
biceps.
With his fists rather than his feet.
Yeah. He would very much enjoy
crushing
that.
Crushing them under his cap.
Still just screaming,
Saito! 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 Doesn't even know why he's saying it anymore. Yeah. Can't remember. Just in a fever.
Putting the baseball cap tighter and tighter so the juice just drips down.
Yeah, got loads of grapes underneath it.
Just crushing them within it. Indeed. While we're in the Far East... although China is at Far East, you're getting on for it, certainly. Mm. Well, let's go to Thailand. Now, obviously, the king of Thailand died recently, which, let's be clear, the crux of what we're talking about is a man dying. So, obviously, that's sad and all the rest
and
of it.
And he was the longest-serving monarch in the world at the
time. Of course, absolutely yours. excuse me. But this prompted Football League officials out in Thailand to end the season three games early.
Yeah.
Now, again, obviously, a man's died, blah, blah, blah. That's very sad. But... two clubs were relegated due to this with three matches left and had a chance of staying up. I mean,
was Kevin King a magic one? Was Kevin King a magic all of them? Oh, wow.
Marcus has gone for a while now.
I thought we had a good chance of staying up, but the King died.
I would love it if he pulled through. Should we see you in a bit, mate?
Oh, dear. You can just imagine the coach rock as well. Three games left. Two of them are winnable. Right?
What we need.
I better take this call. You what?
It's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Richard Scudamore's rumoured to be mulling it over. I love what Marcus has done. I just feel for you, Marcus. He says, in the running order, he's written, laws in Thailand can be very strict when speaking out against anything to do with the royal family.
Yeah. People are scared.
Apparently, the League Cup will be decided by a lottery.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And Scotland was bad.
And tell you what, if Kevin Keegan was managing one of the teams in a final being decided by a lottery, he would just leave.
Finished third. Yeah. I've lost my ticket. I've lost our ticket, boys.
Sad. Oh my goodness!
I don't know where to go? Apparently, the clubs lodged an appeal, but after a meeting with all 18 league clubs, 17 agreed to end the season early. I love the fact one. Yeah. I don't care if I get locked up.
That one
we
club
could have stayed up this season.
That one club had a couple of bags of crockery.
Keegan was managing a team that had a good chance of staying up, but we're in the relegation zone. And Kevin agreed to go and meet the Thai King just as a nice as a nice like royal visit, and then accidentally killed him.
Will the Keegan baiting never end? Probably not.
God, I love Kevin Keegan. Hey, let's have a serious chat about Stork, shall we? Or not?
Team. Well, you know, I remember I said to you last week that in the year 2016, Stoke have conceded three or more goals in the Premier League eight times.
Yes.
Nine times now.
Wow. Yeah. They were so sloppy defending, weren't they? It was sort of, I know there's an idea that Stoke are suffering from the new rules about shirt pulling and all that sort of stuff, right? But there's no commitment to attacking the set pieces coming in against them. They're so vulnerable from the flanks.
Shay Given is now a rough approximation of a goalkeeper. It's very sad to see because he was fantastic in his day. He was fantastic.
He couldn't have done anything about three of the goals. My stomach's rumbling. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Couldn't have anything about three of the goals?
Well, two of the goals.
Are you out of your mind?
What do you mean?
One of
the goals he was all right with.
One of them was they were floating balls into the six-yard box all day. Yeah. Shay Given was staying home.
Maybe he trusted his defenders.
He can use his hands.
Maybe he trusted his defenders.
He can do a lot of things about that.
Shay Given might as well have had his armchair there.
Leave him alone! Fucking leave him alone!
One thing I will say about him, though, fantastic widow's peak.
Leave him alone!
Best widow's peak in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He got a fantastic
he's definitely my hair hero, I think. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. What your hair would be like if it had a bit of commitment about it.
A bit of commitment.
Townsend.
You can be thinking about it. So Alan Pardew's still getting away with it, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, is he? Is anybody calling him on his rubbish?
I love the thought of Gareth Southgate watching this, thinking, "Come on, Alan, come on,
just one
People
point, just get a point
for this, just anything,
Alan, give me something."
They are going to give me the job next week, Alan. All right, time is running out. You're away to Swansea next. You've got to do something there.
I did me an interview. I tried to set fire to the bloke's tie. They still wanted me.
I missed a penalty in the interview. Just to remind them.
They told me to get the PowerPoint out. I'd punch the computer.
Yeah. No, Alan, Steve Bruce can't get promoted, but in a week, it's gone. It's not happening. But Palace struggling, fifth loss in a row.
Chelsea have better players as well.
Yeah. Is N'Golo Kante that good, though?
Is he that good that he makes that much of a difference?
I think Ranieri, I think what they've got at Leicester is season on, season off. That's what they're going to do.
Well, like a fat like Glassman, you got to take your hair off.
Maybe.
Fallow.
Let the ground recover.
Yeah, exactly. They pretend
to be a farmer again.
Yeah, exactly.
Idiot.
Peter!
What's
wrong with some of your petty political point scoring? Thank you very much.
What's wrong with Eavis?
I just think Eavis has got to stop pretending that he's a farmer.
Yeah.
Tarmac it.
What? He's a man in his 80s. He's a man in his 80s.
What are you talking about?
For Pete's pointless political palaver podcast.
How is it political?
Marcus, you want me to bring it up to speed? Pete is referencing Michael Eavis, the founder and erstwhile until his daughter took over, runner of Glastonbury.
I'm very aware of all that.
And his pompous nature.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's pompous. I'm just saying he's got to stop pretending it's a nightmare to get off that site when it's rained.
Agree.
Well,
he doesn't control the weather, does he?
No, but he could make it easy for people to get off.
Pete, I agree, and I've had some very sternly worded thoughts about that festival, but I would not resort to assaulting the man personally.
Yeah,
that's the difference between me and you.
Tarmac it.
To be perfectly frank.
I'm tarmac
if he's going to assault someone,
I'm
going to
tarmac.
Pete,
you cannot tarmac
a pensioner. How many more times?
Oh, I'd love to see a tarmac pensioner.
Come on. Why? See, that's what happens. Well, the thing is, you say why, you encourage it, and then before we know it, we're committing group assault on an 80-year-old man.
The is now
tarmac.
Blaming Marcus for this.
This will be in the YouTube ideas spreadsheet tomorrow. Tarmac's an 80-year-old man.
He smell lovely. I love the smell of tarmac.
I do as well, actually.
Yeah. Is the smell of tarmac as nice when it's coupled with burning pensioner flesh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I put the idea in there because I can see you want to know.
If it's just Top Gear, we'll be doing this tomorrow.
Is Pete having these thoughts, right? Is it really my fault that I asked him why? I mean, in a court of law, is the guy going to say, right, well, you get 3 months as well because you did ask the question why?
No, but I think you should hold yourself up to a higher standard. I'm not asking him.
You're the conditions. You're supplying the catalyst. Yeah. You're the oxygen.
I said why. I didn't say why.
No. I'm the mold spores in my bathroom.
All I'm saying is Pete should not be encouraged on any level to go out and purchase a steamroller.
There would be no steamroller. It would just be a light dusting.
So now you're not even doing the job properly.
Light dusting.
Now you're cutting corners.
You're hot tarmac.
That's like a half-assed tarring and feathering.
I know.
I think this is the quickest vault fast we've ever had.
To be fair, the other day it was Bob Bradley to the Elgin Marbles in 20 seconds.
Right, okay.
It's up there. It's up there.
All I'm saying is...
It depends
how old they are. I mean, Hodgson is advanced in years. I mean, obviously, say...
Advanced in years, I hear. Would you be interested in being tarmacked? Possibly.
So you're only up for it if they're into it as well.
Consent is important.
Yeah. Right, okay.
When you ask them, are you, no, are you,
that
are you at the wheel?
Into account when it comes to sentencing, Pete.
Yeah. Are you at the wheel of the steamroller, looking down on them?
He's not doing, apparently he's not doing the steamroller.
Yeah, I don't know why you're obsessed with the steamroller. It's only one part of the tarmacking process.
Yeah, Marcus, what are you talking about?
Yeah, why are you obsessed with steamrollers?
Sorry to bring it back, are you part of
big steamroller?
I just know you like machines.
So if not the steamroller, how are you going to do it?
Like, what do you mean? Well, you're still tarmacking someone. You have to flatten it down.
No, the steamroller's just for the flattening to even out the road.
I suppose so. Yeah. But how are you going to do it? I mean, I don't feel confident that I could tarmac a pensioner. I'd like to know how you'd do it.
Lie him down and just scoop the tarmac upon it.
Yeah.
I don't mind hitting them with a flat bit of the shovel.
Don't you?
No.
Okay, it's very honourable.
But no steamrolling.
Very honourable of you.
That's cruel, unusual punishment. Unusual.
I can understand. There'll be documentaries made about you in the future.
I think so.
And your family will be ashamed.
Visionary.
Of them.
Visionary human tarmacker.
I think Hodgson. 24 hours. Pep Guardiola is certainly in the spirit of things. Mm. We'll come on to Pep and Man City, of course. David Moyes, not so much.
No, standard.
Yeah. It's partly his fault, partly not his fault. If you had to take David out for the day to cheer him up, what would you do? Jim?
Maybe. That's what I'm thinking. And when I was thinking about answering this question, completely coincidentally, someone on Twitter, @Lebs, got in touch with me and said, I found this funny interview with David Moyes from the 21st of August, which is, as we all know, the start of the season, mm-hmm. with some quotes from David Moyes, and I thought I'd share them as part of this answer. David was asked whether he thinks they're going to be a relegation battle this season. In August?
Mm-hmm.
Why would that suddenly change? I think it will be a relegation battle.
Oh, God.
I don't think you can hide from the fact that it will be the case. People will be flat because they're hoping that something is going to dramatically change. It can't dramatically change. It can't.
Why would that suddenly change? Because of you, David. Because of the influence you can have.
That's
your whole job.
2 weeks into the season. 2 games in. They just lost in Middlesbrough. Admittedly, a poor result. It can't dramatically change. It can't.
He's been proven right, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The joke's on. Yeah. That's still on him.
What a prophecy.
Moistoderma.
Not even September.
Yeah.
Which would be bad enough.
Why would that suddenly change? Not suddenly. You've got 9 months.
You've literally got the whole season.
Always the same for everyone. You've got the whole season. Every manager gets the same. He's planning for a relegation battle in August. He's not even. It's like, you know, Graham Sinise's famous comment when he was Liverpool manager. Don't look at the table till Christmas. Don't worry about it. Focus on your own job. Do what you can do. Pick up as many points as you can. At Christmas, we'll talk about it. Moyes, 21st of August. We're going down.
Yeah.
We're getting relegated.
Also, that didn't work for Mark Fish.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
That's true. Aim high. Aim as high as you can. And if you get a little bit less, then you've done okay still.
So aiming high for him is 18th.
He's thinking, if I aim for relegation and we get rock bottom, that's all right.
It's happening.
You guys made my day mentioning Township Rollers, my hometown club and most successful team in Botswana. From Botswana, so you may be.
That's fantastic.
My old man was even chairman in the 90s. Ooh. The strange name they were named by Gaborone was a new settlement, hence township, and Rollers refers to lawn rollers that you use to flatten the grass.
Okay. Or a pensioner.
With covered in tar.
So what's the explanation for miscellaneous then?
Other team names in Botswana, usually from the smaller towns, are Moshupa Lovers.
Nice.
Which I think is nice. Mosquito. Obviously very popular, buzzing around everywhere.
Yeah.
Naughty Boys.
Naughty Boys.
Naughty Boys. Yeah. Manager Danny Dyer.
I want to move.
Black Peril, which kind of sounds like you, like a Scotsman trying to describe your saviour.
Yeah, or a pirate. Like a pirate ship.
Killer Giants.
That's nice.
Yeah. Everyone on the team's called David.
Green Lovers.
Green Lovers?
Green Lovers.
Green Lovers.
Isn't that nice? Wow. Space Moonlanders.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That's from back in the day. Not sure if they even still play.
You're talking.
Yeah. The thing is, with this type of email, it's very, very difficult to know how many of them are real.
Well, he does say that Black Peril was from back in the day, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Let's assume they're all real because it's brilliant.
Boys, who's been your standout person in football in 2016?
Man of the year. Let's call it the man of the year.
I'm presuming I'm not allowed to go for Rafa Benitez.
It's Christmas. You can do what you want. Well, no, but there could be an argument there with Rafa Benitez.
Listen, he's taking them down.
He started the year Real Madrid.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
now in the Championship. Yeah.
Oh, darling, your material starting off at the biggest club in the world. Got a team running getting to the Championship. Donaldson, that ticks on my boxes. Yeah.
I just, it's the romance of relegation.
Yeah.
My parachute love.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about Ronaldo and Ranieri, but Benitez has just won 8 games in a row in the Championship.
All right, all right. Everyone shut their mouths. Mark Clattenburg.
Didn't happen. I was just going to squeeze a quick highlight in. George Gaskin, the Littlehampton and Horsham striker, scored over the Christmas period. He plays in...
I saw this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which league. One is in the Ryman League South Division, which is not a bad standard.
Yeah.
And it's better than Leatherhead Reserves, I can tell you that.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's not a reserve league for a start. I think he plays in the SCFL Premier Division. And this was in the Littlehampton Gazette. He scored 2 hat-tricks in one day for 2 different teams. And that's a decent standard, that, Ryman League South Division. It's you know, a respectable level. It's not like he scored for the school and then his club team or something.
That's fantastic. I mean, just to play twice in one day.
Yes. He's 26. He's not like 14.
Speaking as a severely overweight 36-year-old man, just to play 2 games of football in one day. To be honest, if you'd have put that in there, I'd have been impressed. What, did he come up? No, he played the whole game.
Well, was it 5 aside? Yeah, that's still good.
Yeah, no. That is good, yeah.
It's the same sort of engine you need to have when you're a kid over the park and games go up to, 45 all.
I know, right.
And then it only stops because the sun goes down.
What, did he drive himself home as well?
He ran home.
Yeah.
Get this man signed up. Yes, George, he's 26.
George Gaskin. Hopefully we haven't sort of outed him as some sort of ringer and he's going to be suspended.
Well, then he should know better.
He should, yeah. In which case, if he is...
That would be quite funny.
Don't endorse it.
Yeah, exactly. It could be like the next Joe the Goal.
What's your name? George Gaskin?
Yeah.
Is that your real name? When you used to go filling for your mates' teams and you couldn't get signed on quick enough.
I remember playing for the... I remember playing for the university and one of our lads, it was a friend's university. And, I realised what I've done there. And one of the lads wasn't eligible to play.
Yeah.
Right? You know who I'm talking about. And he got booked. And he thought to himself, oh, I can't give my name. So he looked up. And the first person he saw, he gave their name. They were also ineligible to play.
Very nice.
A disgrace.
Very nice.
Oh, dear. I was eligible, though.
Yeah.
I mean, my mate was
although not selected.
Yeah. in the reserves.
Yeah. Right.
Before we go to a little ad break, Brentford versus Eastleigh.
Mm. Yes.
This is a nice one.
It is a nice one because Martin Allen is manager of Eastleigh, possibly...
Old Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah. One of the most bizarre managerial careers you could find in England, I think.
And statements he's made.
And he used to manage Brentford, of course.
Yes.
He took him to 2 playoff semi-finals.
He's managed everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah.
That is definitely a man who doesn't call himself mad. But when the term mad dog has come from somewhere else.
I'll take dog.
Yeah. I've probably talked about it on the show before, a very robust, shall we say, midfield player.
Yes.
Played for Portsmouth, actually, for a little bit towards the end of his career.
And West Ham, didn't he?
He was very popular down at Portsmouth. But he's also knocked out... Did he knock out Sunderland when they're in the Premier League?
I thought you were going to say an individual player.
Oh, he probably did. Yeah. Oh, he's definitely done that. But the reason I say this is I think he knocked out Sunderland when he was manager of Brentford, and he may have even knocked out... Oh, no, I think they drew against Southampton away when he was at Brentford in the FA Cup. He got a bit of a reputation of having these weird ideas to knock out teams.
Right.
And when they went down to Southampton, they end up. I think they drew 2-2, and he was in the local press down there at the time because he was running. He was as motivation.
Oh,
he was
running. That was
a different one. That was him as well. But that's not
okay, right.
He was running naked into the Solent, getting all these players. Come on, let's go over a swim in the Solent. It's freezing.
Which is the Solent on the coast?
It's the south coast.
But he wasn't naked.
I think he was. He was either naked at the river or naked in the sea. One of those. Was naked.
Wasn't the, but the river one was. I think he'd just taken over. I can't remember which side, and they'd gone on like a bit of a run, and there was a river there, and he thought to himself, right, I'll G him up, you know, like you get some sort of...
That was summer up north while he was on an away game with Brentford. It was with Brentford as well.
Oh, was that with Brentford?
He's done most of his finest work with Brentford.
The riverside.
Did he not dive into the river and, like, he climbed up the other side of the bank or something?
So come on, you lot.
Yeah, he was, like, trying to G him up, I'll lead from the front.
He should manage in Porlock, shouldn't he,
what you're referring to is I think I'm right in saying there was 2 players on the riverbank having an argument. And they were talking about going for a swim in the river naked.
Right.
And from nowhere, Mark Allen came and dived in and swam it. And got out the other side and went, don't fucking say you're going to do so, I can not do it.
Do you think they've bought into their own fairy tale myth a little bit to the point where they're going, oh, there's no way we can win the Premier League again? And they're just sort of almost just allowing it to happen. It was sort of forgetting that they actually, you know, they do still have some control over their own destiny. They don't have to have an absolutely terrible season.
Luke sort of alluded to it, I think. It's a tribute season, isn't it? Ranieri's picking up his honorary degree from De Montfort University. Yeah.
Mm. Where Pete went?
Yeah.
And did you get a degree from there?
I did no graduate.
No, okay.
Because I had outstanding library fines.
That's it, yeah. I knew there was something funny about that. Yeah, anyway, hopefully you'll get an honorary one at some point.
Could you just pay them now and get your degree, or is it
I think I did a radio show where I rang them up and they rang me back and they said that if I give 30 quid to children in need, they would say no more about it. So I think technically I can graduate if I fancy it.
But you've decided to snub children in need.
No, I gave the children in need money. I just need to organise a time where I can throw a mortar ball
I gave children in need money.
Or any kind of mortar.
I just can't prove it.
Yeah. They sort of bribed you with a charity payment. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's morally...
It's on my self-assessment, so it's tax deductible. So up yours.
Pete always wins.
Higher education isn't what it was, is it?
It wasn't when I was there, no.
You turned up on the first day, just give 30 quid to children in need. That's fine.
I did my third year in a zoo, Luke, so... So...
let's move on to another tie. Oxford United at home to Newcastle United. How about that, eh?
Upset!
I don't know when my klaxon's out, to be honest.
Yeah. Get your klaxons out for the...
There we go. Upset! Woo!
Oxford manager Michael Appleton, he's an ambitious man. He said that he's glad the match won't be on TV because, according to him, we don't turn up when the cameras are on. And Newcastle do.
Don't tell him about the highlights.
I love this whole new era. I'd love it if managers were this honest. David Moyes, Michael Appleton. Yeah. Moore should do it. Mm.
He's ex-Pompey, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he managed Portsmouth. Yeah. To be fair to Michael Appleton, he managed Portsmouth. I think it might have been his first job in management, and Portsmouth were in the depths of the problems they were in. It was very difficult for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think many people thought he got a fair chance there. But speaking of the upset thing, I did a bit of research about Oxford versus Newcastle. In 1992, the last time the two teams played was in 93. In 1992, Oxford beat Newcastle 4-2 and 5-2. Dished out a couple of batterings.
Yeah,
nice.
We'll have. Does that make you worried for this tie?
Not particularly, no.
And I particularly feel for Bradford City fans because Oxford was supposed to play in the EFL Trophy midweek. Mm. Against Bradford. Mm. Bit of a long trip going to Oxford. Game was called off for a frozen pitch 20 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah, that is annoying.
It's like the officials are going, well, kickoff's at 7:45. It's probably going to get warmer. If anything, it's getting warmer, so we'll give it as long as we can.
That's right.
20 minutes. 99% of those Bradford City fans would have been in the ground.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. They've got to get reimbursed for that.
They really do.
That's Newcastle's best hope, by the way.
Michael Appleton did go on to say, though, he said, but there's no doubt about it, if we can cause an upset, we'll be a pretty big deal in the media the next day.
When
do you want the coverage or not?
Yeah, I know.
Don't give us the coverage, but if we win, then give us the coverage.
Give us it, yeah.
If we're 3-0 up with 10 minutes left, get your cameras down here.
I mean, the cameras will already be there for the highlight package, so... I don't understand. How does he know what? Is that a red light? Is that a red light on?
Is that a live transmission? Yeah. You are taking a piss.
Is that a mixing desk you got? Is that a live broadcast unit?
Yeah, exactly.
Get out.
Michael Appleton running up and down the touchline. There's no film in that camera. Do not worry.
He's Facebook living over there.
The lead.
Players on the pitch going, boss, are there people looking? Are there people watching? Yeah. There are people in the ground. They can see.
I can't do it if you watch me.
PSG playing Celtic. hundreds.
It would literally be 11-0. Are you going to talk about Mark McGee?
I was going to mention Mark McGee.
Excellent. May I?
Yes.
I saw a brilliant... I mean, obviously, Mark McGee, for those who haven't seen, was sent to the stands the other day against Aberdeen.
I think it was last week.
His team were beaten 7-2 by Aberdeen when he was sent to the stands. I saw a brilliant article today about Mark McGee apparently quite wanting an explanation about not only why he was sent to the stands against Aberdeen, but why so many refereeing decisions went against his team in that game and they lost 7-2. Now, I didn't see the game in its entirety, and I'm the first to admit that, but I've seen a decent amount of football matches in my time, and if you concede seven goals in one game, it's rarely the fault of the referee. And it was fantastic because, I don't know if you guys know, but James McFadden is the assistant to McGee at Motherwell.
Yeah,
obviously, ex-Scottish striker, and played for Everton and one or two others. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was worth mentioning. But speaking after the game, Mark McGee, according to the BBC, said he was absolutely disgusted and horrified by the attitude of the fourth official and wanted clarity. And after we would be speaking to the SFA's head of referees, John Fleming, McGee said, "John Fleming, I'll be speaking to a lawyer. I can only think there's an agenda." Now, if you want... If you watch the footage, Mark McGee is absolutely fuming.
He's one of the angriest men in Britain.
Yeah, it's like he tried to make out that he was really calm and, and all this. And the great quote afterwards was he said, he said, I'm not being funny, but the fourth official spoiled the game for me.
Not your defending, not the Aberdeen forwards.
Give you a bit more perspective. If you haven't got time to go and watch the video, I'll just leave with this. A police officer had to take him to the stand.
Wow. He's one of those men who's so angry that anybody with a sort of a rational mind wouldn't want to talk to him.
He also spotted a fan. When the policeman escorted him to the seat of the stand, he spotted a fan filming him and screamed at him, "Is that thing on? Get your fuck!"
That's such a wonderful Scottishism.
Oh, God. Anyway, Begbie in action.
Mark McGee is the gift that keeps on giving in that situation. It's fantastic to watch. Really, yeah. I said to you, if you haven't got time to go and see it, fair enough, but please do treat yourself.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Mark Warburton.
I'll agree, he's got the weapon of surprise on his side.
Yeah. Well, I have a highlight as well, and it's in the same vein as what's been going on. There's been a few good ones. The Argentina under-20 coach, Gerardo Solorio, who's he's been suspended. And I'll tell you why. He was trying to climb a perimeter fencing to fight fans. At 57 years old.
Under 20 coach.
Imagine that happening here. Anyone caring that much? Yeah. Right, OK. Is he the new under-21 boss, A.D. Boothroyd?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think he's certainly naming the hat, but I think he may have got the job. Imagine someone, I mean, Boothroyd's definitely managed at that level. Imagine me, Big AD, going, right, I'm not having that.
I'm like, coming to get you.
Mark McGee gets
He's definitely involved in the setup at England, Boothroyd, yeah.
Mark McGee gets sent to the stands, right?
Yeah, and rightly so.
And rightly so. And a fan is filming him, and McGee turns round, and you could imagine, because he's an angry man anyway, I mean, in the heat of the moment, he's going, oi, are you going to turn that effing thing off, or whatever he says, right? That's like quite outrageous for here. The Argentina national team under-21 coach is trying to climb a perimeter fence to fight fans.
I thought you said it was under-20, so it's not as bad.
Under-20, yeah.
Is that fence there to keep the coaches out?
I don't know. But the quote, Jim, I have to say this, people call me old, a drunk, but I just climb the fence to look for the haters. It goes on.
It's like Flo Rida.
Sometimes.
He's Drake.
I get a good feeling. Yeah. I've said 1,000 sorries, but I'm feeling like Jesus, to be honest. Everyone at me for no reason. Again, like, how is there even this much criticism of the under-20 coach? Who cares that much? Is that making his life hell?
Imagine this boss, right, you're going to go out there, you're going to say something to the press about this. Sorry, I was just trying to get off of the haters. Not that. Don't say that.
All right, well, I'm feeling like Jesus for crying out. Yeah, yeah. I don't.
Jesus, who famously climbed many fences to get at the haters.
Blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. And if you disagree with that, I'll punch your noses.
Yeah. What's his name, this guy?
It's Gerardo Solorio.
Just making a note.
Yeah.
He might pop up again.
Well, he's not going to be in a job, surely. Oh, mind you never know with the Argentine FA.
Yeah.
He might be given a 3-year extension. We love your passion.
Mm. Oh. You can manage the national team.
Yeah. Right, that's it.
I'm embarrassed by that. So, Vicious Mate's dad, fantastic stuff. And finally for now, Tobias Liljeblad, I have a problem with the podcast and I need your help, guys. Sometimes during the commercial break, there is a fellow saying something like, "Hi, Linford Grimes here, and you're listening to the Football Ramble." I have Googled this name, and even though I'm not a native English speaker, I don't think that a village in the Breckland district of Norfolk is able to produce such a sentence, even in your wacky podcast. I also don't think that Linford Christie has received a speech impediment that has stopped pronouncing his name correctly. I have been looking into this for some time, and I can't find the person who he is.
Are you telling me we've got a listener who's never heard of Linford Grimes? He's a legend.
Look hard on the internet.
You must be spelling it wrong. I'm not going to help you.
So please let me know. I would very much like to fall asleep again, as this is consuming all my free time. Thank you, Tobias Liljeblad.
Let's leave that there.
Let's see out there.
I'm not putting that man out.
Linford Grimes.
Yeah,
I love that guy. Yeah.
Great player.
Popular with the fans.
Real servant.
Fan favourite.
Was it the 1954 FA Cup?
Yeah. Get an education.
I'm Grimesy. We're going to talk more about football and that after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Watford will have a new manager probably quite soon, and another manager probably quite soon after that.
Yeah. They'll be queuing up.
The commentators are meant to be impartial, obviously, but they are meant to be descriptive of what's going on. Watford were absolutely woeful, is what the commentator said after the game.
But
that's scathing. Have you ever heard a commentator that scathing?
Mick McCarthy in a World Cup.
Do
you remember it was a game? He even said something like, "I know we're supposed to big these games up, but this has been awful."
It's amazing. That was the same game where he started.
It was a game he was managing.
He started off that game, and it was a game. It was something like Ireland against Liechtenstein or something. And he said at the start of that game, "Just to let everyone know, I can't pronounce a left back's name, so I'm just going to call him left back." In the first minute of the game.
Which is right down phonetically.
Yeah. You've seen the packs they get given.
Yeah.
With comprehensive. No, thanks. Foreign muck, not having it.
Yeah. I love a bit of that. Yeah.
How you doing, Pete Dollison? Back again, giving you more smashing slices of Best of Ramble fun. How's about a vintage bit of opening question action?
Oh, dear. So then, gentlemen, if you could present an award to anybody from the world of football, what would it be for and who would it be to, Jim?
I would like to see, once and for all, the most terrifying club mascot recognised. Because there are so many like horrific felt nightmares out there.
The Partick one.
The Partick Thistle one. That's obviously a strong contender, the David Shrigley one. But there are a lot more
which
out
is
there.
The Partick Thistle
it looks like a little weird, angry starman designed by a notable UK artist, David Shrigley.
Right. The Partick Thistle. Yeah. And it's terrifying.
It's enjoyable.
It's almost as terrifying as Mark McGee. but not quite. More on him later.
About to say, Mark McGee fans, keep still.
Both of you, keep your attention.
So, Scunthorpe have got one called the Scunny Bunny, which is this sort of terrifying Donnie Darko style rabbit.
Vibrator.
I don't want to hear more about that.
Oh, Pete's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Like someone on the market. I got you, Scunny Bunnies.
Two for a tenner.
Yeah, well, club
three
merchandise.
Three handkerchiefs, 50 pence.
Club merchandise is getting stranger all the time, so maybe there's a gap in the market there.
Don't call them that, mate. It's part of a lady.
Oh, Peter. Peter Donaldson.
Minutes. It's taken minutes.
You're not on your sex holiday now.
To Beijing.
Although, judging by
the ass, man, you couldn't get up to anything.
You can be weird anywhere, Pete. It doesn't matter where you are. As long as you're out of our sight, it's
always
dubious.
That's what I said on the visa.
Jim, with his asthma, he couldn't get up to anything.
Yeah, I heard it and I chose to ignore it.
The biggest
We know it's not true.
The air quality's terrible there.
The biggest contraceptive Pete's got is that shirt.
let's not bring the shirt to this.
His shirt.
Good God.
It's not an audio feature, for one thing. So
it's not a visual feature. No. It's a visual assault.
God, you're impressive.
Yeah, I'm really trying, mate. So, Peter, you'll be aware of the Newcastle mascots. They're Maggie and Monty Magpie, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're husband and wife.
They're husband and wife, right? And obviously the top of them is a horrible felt mascot nightmare, but otherwise they just wear jeans. I love that.
Geordie jeans.
So much about the fine city, doesn't it?
Like, my goodness me.
I mean, they're maybe not terrifying, but I felt they were worthy of a mention. There's,
if you mention the city gent again on this podcast...
I'm not, but right? I need to now. Because I trapped you into doing it.
It's not a terrifying one, he's a gent.
Wait a minute, Jim, if you don't mind me saying, you've just described two massive human-sized magpies wearing jeans and said, they're not that terrifying. They sound bloody terrifying to me.
And don't forget that they're married.
Good. That's a good thing.
I know it's good. It's just odd. Seems odd, though, doesn't it? It's strange thing for the backstory.
It's ironic, given your situation, you're a fan of a stable family unit.
Yeah.
Oi, come on. Come on.
Why is Luke having a go? What's he been doing since I've been away?
Oh, right.
He's not had this. He's not had the punching bag.
He's had no sidekick.
The floral punching bag.
What's your answer?
So, I'm trying to show my work in. I really am. So, yeah. Sitting opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let him email again.
hello again. This is from Jake Street. I'm back to yet more mascot talk. The last mascot I brought to your attention was Ron Corn of Run Corn FC, which I think we all enjoyed. Very
popular one.
Ron Corn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This time I'm bringing you Mossley FC's Marv the LED Light.
Nice.
What? You want to check him out? He looks like a chimney.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a big sort of, you know, energy saving light bulb.
He looks like a cigarette. Let's make
it
very clear.
Yeah, it looks like a vape.
Yeah.
Why on earth is he an LED light?
Well, I'm about to explain.
What's his name, Pete?
Marv the LED Light.
It's not even a rhyme.
I have no idea why they're known. I have no idea why, as they're known as the Lily Whites, and they're not sponsored by any lighting company, so I've no clue as to why they have an LED as their mascot.
Wow.
And he wants us to say
LED lights are white.
And he wants to say
so he was going to explain it, Jim, but he cut you off to say he's going to explain it, and he explained it by saying no one knows why.
Yeah, no one knows why. Yeah, exactly. He let us say hello to his friend Mitchell Barron, who's a big
Bramble
listener.
Don't let him do that.
Yeah. I will let him do that, because he provided some jokes.
Yeah.
He provided an LED light.
This is the author of Ron Corn, mate.
Yeah,
fair enough. He's worthy of respect.
How about this?
But anyway, looking ahead to the weekend, what have I got here? My eyes are terrible. I need to get this computer closer. It's Stuart Montague. I'm looking forward to the Borough lads getting all giddy now Karanka's gone, playing some mad Keegan-style football, 2-3-5 formation, and treating us to a 7-6 thriller.
Sumptuous.
Do you know what I was Leicester?
Yeah. Speaking of Middlesbrough and managers, is it time Steve McLaren came
back? Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Mm-hmm. He's in the running, I think.
Well, he's just left a club, so...
Derby, yeah. Depressing, that, isn't it? It is depressing, it is. I mean, if you're a Middlesbrough fan, you just got rid of Karanka.
Can I just nip in before you do that? Mine is Gary Rowett, of course, is going to be in charge of Derby now.
Yeah.
Well, he is in charge of Derby, and he was saying that he wants McLaren's son to stay on as a part of the backroom staff.
That's nice.
I don't know if that's a dig or it's lies.
That's depressing as well. I'm trying to think about how you can make that more depressing.
I'll raise your son for you as well, Steve.
Yeah. I will say your offspring, Steve.
And presumably, Steve, you live locally, don't you? So speaking of that, by the way, Marcus... They beat them at Bournemouth, didn't they?
They did. They beat them 3-1. Bournemouth will be looking for revenge. But it could be a feisty affair. Speaking of feisty affairs...
There it is!
we mentioned red cards in the Merseyside derby. 5 red cards, I think you said, in that game.
No, there should have been 5. There were 3.
Oh,
there were 3.
Well, Easter Road, this week, there were 4. only 2 of them were players.
Yeah.
It was like the last days of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
A mass brawl happened at the end of that one between Hibs and Morton. It was 0-0. But the real story was the two managers going at it. We know Neil Lennon likes a ruck.
There is an absolutely incredible, like, very Alan Partridge-style photo story of this on the Daily Records website. It's just amazing.
I only clicked on it because I thought it was a proper video.
No, but it starts off just like a normal football match, and then there are punches flying, just
show,
bundles. It's just beautiful.
It really is. Jim Duffy and him had to be separated.
Jesus, Jim Duffy looks hard.
He does. He looks like a tough
His
man.
His head looks like a bullet. He is the dictionary definition of old man hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
He makes Joe Jordan look like Bambi.
Definitely.
On ice.
Yeah.
It's like his skull has a skull.
And when he had that dust up with Lennon that you mentioned, Lennon does like a dust up himself.
He
said, There were no punches thrown. This is Jim Duffy. There were no punches thrown. If I throw a punch, you'll know about it.
He also said that he was sort of really embarrassed by it, but afterwards he said maybe it was handbags with a few things inside the handbags.
That's so sinister. No. Yeah. A couple of half bricks in that handbag.
You could snooker bottle in a sock.
I tell you something, the first thing I thought of when I saw Jim Duffy's face is that man could hold his own in any pub in the land. Any pub in the land.
Even that one in Aberdeen where nobody goes to.
Any time of the day or night. That one in Aberdeen was in that world, Britain's Hardest Pubs in the series. And I actually showed my granddad a bit of that. He spent a lot of time in Aberdeen when he was younger. Mm. And I asked him if he recognised it. He said no, but he said one thing about Aberdeen is it's not quite the end of the world, but you can see it.
Oh man, Jim Duffy, because Neil Lennon accused Jim Duffy of challenging him to a fight, and I thought, I tell you what, Mr. Lennon, you know, whatever you didn't seem to wait, you know, for any clarification on that, you know, you might have assumed
he's been kicked in the head by Alan Shearer. He's not going to like second guess anyone again, is he?
He's certainly not.
I'm ready. I'll go.
The phrase he used was "square go."
Well, I know. I love that. Jim Duffy said he denied asking for a square go, which is
square
wonderful.
Square go.
Give me. As if to say, come ahead, square go.
Yeah. Do you know, Marcus? Remember our mate from uni, Richie, friends of Richie. He always used to say whenever you'd like muck around with him or someone was ready, he'd always go on then. Make it a good one.
Yeah. I'll give you the first.
Yeah.
Duffy was sent to the stands, of course, with Neil Lennon, and he said, I've never been set. Duffy playing like the innocent party.
I know.
Like you were saying, oh, you know, this has never happened to me or anything like this.
It's like a Scottish Voldemort. There's no way you can play the innocent party.
He said, I've never been sent to the stands before tonight. It's my first time, but it's always good to lose your virginity eventually.
This guy's gone under our radar for far too long.
Oh, man. He said, I've never been in this situation before, and I don't know how it works. Maybe I should ask Lenny.
Yeah.
Just so disrespectful.
Apparently, they're good pals as well.
Yeah.
But they go back a long way, and they're good pals.
And that's how they behave.
Yeah, well, quite. God knows what they do with their enemies. Yeah. But we might hear a bit more of Jim if Grinnick get promoted, because they're doing all right, aren't they? They're second in the league or something like that. Hibs are miles ahead, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it was a big game. It was
and
a big
only
game.
One go up automatically, so we'll see.
Wonderful stuff. We must go to a break.
But bought my Notts County top for his 40th. Got it on eBay from like a house clearance. Dead man's shirt. Wonderful. Love it.
Ridiculous.
And but the best
Your
thing about
always
it
always take turns like that. I love it.
Yeah. Well, the best thing about it is the sponsor was Fascia Mania. Remember when fascias were big?
What for
phone? Fascia for mobile phones.
Yeah.
What even were they?
They were like plastic like additions to your to your actual mobile phone.
Cover basically.
Yeah. Fascia Mania.
I used to have a Portsmouth cover on my phone on my 3210.
Yeah. Lovely. Classic, mate. Yeah. Classic.
It was a classic.
I was remembering my first mobile phone, and I remember that the SIM card was a credit card sized SIM card.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fantastic.
Oh, Pete, you probably, knowing what we know about you and technology, you probably had a mobile phone in about 1984.
Mm. One of those
in
big brick ones.
Yeah,
you had to bring like an aerial around with it. Yeah.
No, I got into a fight with the jeweller's son because I said he was
the jeweller's son.
Again, the town jeweller.
I got into a fight.
I got into a fight with
the northern jeweller.
I got into the
to
a fight.
The son.
I got into a fight with a jeweller's son, the jeweller's son, because I said he was slimy because he had a mobile phone when we were like 15 or something. Wow. Nobody else had one.
Did you grow up in a nursery rhyme?
Is this when you worked down the Hovis mine?
Oh, well, my lovelies, did you see, of course you did, because we talked about it on one of the previous Football Rambles, that inflatables were banned at Barnet when Grimsby Town came to town. Mm. They brought along a mariachi band, as of course we talked about before. What would you bring along instead of inflatables if you were given the choice, if you were in the Grimsby end for that game? Jim?
Well,
there's worse things to have come out of a piñata than a nice bit of fish for your dinner.
I thought you were going to say, keep with the Mexican tradition, you're going to have a big fence in front of
big
the
wall. Build a wall.
Yeah. Peter, we just had Luke. Sorry, Peter.
Yeah, sorry. I'd take in the actual things that the inflatables are meant to represent. You know, like the popular inflatable items you get, like a palm tree.
Mm.
Yeah. I'd take a palm tree
big
in.
Big banana.
Or a big actual banana. a dead flamingo.
Or a dead shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. A red Stratocaster.
Now you're talking.
A big meaty pink willy.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Oh, just bring your own, mate.
He always travels with one of them. Don't worry about that.
Or like make one out of like loads and loads of compacted chicken breasts. Into one of those big, you know, like you see them on Hendus.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting.
That might be the worst thing that's ever been said on this show.
Also,
and that is saying
big,
something.
Also, chicken breasts are expensive. Use thighs.
Sorry for the live show, innit?
Yeah.
Why does the whole thing stink?
Come to the live show, Peter. We're dishing out raw chicken thighs.
Shaped no. into a penis.
Yeah. Get a slice.
There we go.
Fashion your thighs into a penis. Coming up, but there was unsavoury scenes in another big derby on the continent on the weekend. In the Denmark, the Copenhagen derby, rather, happened on the weekend. Bromby and FC Copenhagen. Some Bromby supporters threw dead rats at an opposition player when he went to take a corner.
Where have they got those from?
Have they killed them there? Or them alive?
I reckon they're them in storage. Like put it in the freezer.
Do you think?
Thaw them out for the day.
Yeah, they did look defrosted, to be fair.
If anyone in this room knows anything about a rat storage, my money's on Donny again.
There is an optimal how damp the air is, so okay. It's just important. That's your biggest problem with dead rats and their storage.
I like pens and dead rats, I tell you what.
How many would you be keeping in one sort of storage container?
I would put them all in a cardboard box. I'd put about 5 per cardboard box on top of a dehumidifier. So.
Do you stack the rats?
Stack the rats. No. They wouldn't be touching.
No.
Because you might use them for different reasons.
They might use them for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah. Like chucking them at a rival player in a derby game.
I guess you wouldn't want to contaminate them.
And here's where us as a show can really stand out with this sort of stuff. So we'll talk about this. No doubt that newspaper, whoever it is, we don't mention them because most of the newspapers we don't like.
Yep.
We'll use their stuff.
Yeah,
we don't like them. They've reported that, probably, I would say. I haven't read the story, but I imagine they've reported that as a negative thing. Yeah. That's how we can differentiate ourselves. Because I bloody love that.
I
endorse it wholeheartedly.
That is quite neat. Leads neatly onto what the Bromby sporting director said. He said it's unfortunate there are some visitors who could not figure out how to behave properly.
Yeah.
Is this behaving properly? We haven't figured it out yet, you mug.
Oh, it's such a Rubik's Cube of social behaviour.
I'll suck it and see. Try and error.
Would you prefer mice?
I love the fact that we talked on this show before about fans in this country particularly writing banners and embarrass themselves. Mm. Like their kid coming down in the morning on the kitchen table, the dad's writing a banner out.
Yeah.
Mm. Imagine the dead rats.
What
are you doing? can you put this rat in your pocket? I've run out of space. Yeah. What is happening?
I was like, to find one rat.
Maybe you're still stuck there.
There's a couple of things to say here. Luke once said to me that he'd like to play football against the 100 pigs.
Yeah.
Don't know what he means by that. Although, in another sense, I do. And then secondly, I am possibly, and I'm going to assume this, and it's to my detriment or credit, whatever, that I'm assuming this, is that I think I'm the only person here that has been involved in the blowing up of dynamite.
Really?
Yeah.
What, in the real world?
In the real world,
yeah. Well, I don't know this for sure, but I'll put my mortgage on the fact that Pete's done it.
Yeah. Marcus, is this when you went to Vietnam and paid a man to let you throw a stick of dynamite at a cow?
None of that's true. Mm. And it wasn't in Vietnam.
Well, give us the dynamite. Don't just tease it. Just give it to
us. That email's from Andrew Lavers, by the way.
Thank you, Andrew.
Do you want me to interpret that, Andrew? I can interpret that for you. Yeah. You are almost certainly in love with your own mother.
Yeah. All dreams mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
back to your dynamite chat.
It was.
And it is dynamite chat.
It was 2005. It was Bolivia.
Okay,
it's in South America,
right?
And there's a mining town, it's still a mining town called Potosi, I think it's called in Bolivia. There was a lot of silver mining there, and they do a tour of the mines. I was actually ill; I didn't get to go to see the mines, but my mate who I was with did, and two other Canadian chaps we were travelling with, and they sell two things this mine. Dynamite and extremely strong alcohol.
Right. Good combo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What could go wrong? Yeah. One of those things is bad.
Yeah. No, both are very good.
Yeah, we a couple of chaps we acquired on the way got some dynamite and we let it off. In a very safe environment, controlled. We got a local to do it. It
takes another side to you here, Mark, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know.
What did you blow up with it? Nothing. You just blew up nothing with it.
No, we blew up a massive big, like it was a big boulder thing. And it was.
What is this?
Yeah.
The hell?
Well, you asked me the
this
question.
This is what you do when you go on your trip.
What can I just say?
You blow things up.
You know when someone scores, like in the lower league, scores like an amazing goal, and someone says, oh, if Messi did that, we've been raving about it for months.
Yeah.
If Pete said that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know. Wow. Explosive times.
And you presumably weren't even drinking the really strong alcohol. This was your own destructive
This guy, that was only a dream. It wasn't even real.
You've topped it. It was one of your weird travel
I'm just saying that I was... I never lit the thing.
Do you know what I was
In the court of law, I would have just been an innocent bystander.
When you said it, do you want to know what I was thinking?
I'd maybe get done for a fray.
Do you want to know what I was hoping? I was hoping you'd do the old Crocodile Dundee and let it off in a lake and get all the fish. That's what I was hoping.
No, I'm not going to kill... you know.
Oh, suddenly you're a moral now. Are you very moral?
A boulder's not going to.
You're the last bastion of moral integrity now, are you?
In this room.
You're running around Bolivia in your pants. That might just be in my mind. Yeah. In your pants.
That's a dream.
With a stick of dynamite holding it above your head.
It's actually not a stick, it's slightly more complex than that.
Oh, sorry. Oh, is it? I'm not an expert.
No. Clearly not.
Someone is.
There we go.
Well, we had an expert with us. He couldn't believe he's like our Bolivian tour guide. We approached him, we said.
Oh, no one ever wants to do this.
By the way, Juan, his name was Juan. We said, oh, we thought, how are we going to? Because we can't just go, oh, by the way, we're going to nip off and if you hear a big explosion, don't worry about it. And we said, we got some dynamite, what do you reckon? And he couldn't believe his luck. His eyes lit up. Oh, I haven't blown up anything for years, he said. He was
give
right.
It
yeah. Come here, you amateurs. Right. Well, back to some explosive action, if you will, in the champion.com
if you want to get involved.
You want a tip.
And if you want a tip, and if you've got any stories about Kevin Hitchcock.
What's the biggest tip you've given, Pete? You're quite a generous chap. Are you the most generous one of all
when
of us?
The
biggest tip you've ever given, you won't remember.
First in London, I gave. I was writing a lot of checks that my ass definitely could not cash because I was very poor and it took like 3 or 4 days to cash. And I gave, I think, £15 to a toilet attendant.
In a check?
Yeah.
That is the most Alan Pryde thing I've ever heard.
I assumed that a man who had the thickest Nigerian accent I've ever heard in my life, that his banking might have been done in Lagos, see? So that's why I thought he'd take some time to cash the check. He didn't. He cashed it almost immediately. And I couldn't eat for a week. So well done, me.
The hell? Dude, if I may, please just take some time to think about Pete writing out a cheque in a pub toilet for £15 to a toilet.
That's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Just you can have a tenner, for a couple of 15 days. Quid if it's a cheque.
Don't cash it yet. Yeah. Oh, you have.
I do miss the chequebooks.
Yeah.
They were very...
So why, been, sound
yeah.
Of
yeah so
he actually cashed it straight away.
He cashed it straight
classic,
away.
Classic stuff.
Skint that week. Absolutely brassing.
Yeah.
Terrible business.
Speaking of strange things, Tony Adams, let's go to La Liga, started his temporary head coach role.
Weird sentence, isn't it?
Granada.
Let's go to La Liga, Tony Adams. What the flip's going on?
Yeah. Did you see his training session?
Oh, I did.
I thought it was excellent.
The Macarena
beautiful.
Video.
I thought it was excellent. I just really enjoyed it. I think there's a lot to be said for managers going over to Spain and trying their luck. I know he's got a job through nepotism and he's pals with the chairman, blah, blah, blah. But he's doing it. He doesn't have to do it. Uh-huh. He's doing it.
They only lost 3-0.
And the best thing about it is, right, is that all the fans of English football will say, oh, well, the problem is our coaches, our managers don't go overseas, do they? They don't go overseas and learn.
Big
they
time.
Go overseas, rip the piss out of them. Rip the piss out of them mercilessly as much as you can until they come back a failure.
Yeah, Steve McLaren.
Yeah.
He won a league title.
Yeah, it
gets the absolute mickey taken out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yes, he did try and sound like a Dutchman. That's fine. Mm. And that is a literal sentence.
But in any other walk of life, that wouldn't be the takeaway from
that. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like Jim says, he's won 2 league titles.
Yeah.
You know, that is the takeaway.
Yeah, with a really unfancied side as well. Just, mug McLaren. Yeah. And now you're back here, and now you're crap. It's like, he could have done. Ah, you dickhead, you tried! You were trying!
Look at you trying to better yourself.
Why don't more of you try this one?
You're pathetic. how's Adams getting on? Don't know. Look at this funny dance he's done.
It was a funny dance.
It was brilliant.
He won a fridge. I don't know what he was trying to say.
Tony Adams.
What about his beige tracksuit trousers and blue polo shirt?
Oh, you're getting in on it now.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what about
that's a combination
it,
of the two things. Look, taking the piss out of Pete's clothes and that exact attitude.
It's called fashion, look it up.
By coincidence, that is what Pete's wearing.
Come back and wear a suit in the National League, you mug. Dear, oh dear. It is a funny one, Dan.
So that's the end of our Spanish roundup.
Yeah, Oh, dearie me. But ahead of the Clásico... Okay, I appreciated the quote from Snow, though, by the way.
That's all right. It's quite right.
Peter.
Was it a quarter?
I suppose it was more of a lyric, isn't it? Yeah. Carry on.
But actually, a couple of years ago, I put a curse on someone.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Is he still
when
in?
Eusebio died, I put a curse on Bela Gutman and I said, Bela Gutman, you will never win another European title. And true to form, the very much deceased skeleton of Bela Gutman has not won another European title since that date. So
you're the only one in this room with experience of the question.
Exactly.
Which puts a lot of pressure on yours, because presumably it's now going to happen.
He could kind of win posthumously.
Okay, is that your answer, the one you've already done?
Jim, I think we should push up on this.
Okay.
If Pete's got experience of curses, and they were,
as he claims,
I think you should...
suggest an entirely realistic one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do whatever sort of shamanic ritual you have to do to make it happen, and then we'll see if it works.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. Okay. Does anybody know any voodoo priests or priestesses?
Well, you're the one with the curse experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just did a little one in my head. I went, I'll get you, Bella.
Pete, just to let you know, if you do all the stuff for the show in your head, it's not going to be as entertaining for the listeners at home.
You have to show you're working, as we've often said. Yeah.
Thinking about people isn't cursing them as well.
I could show you the work, and I've always got chicken bones on me.
You're a, my goodness. You're always... You're just essentially thinking about a dead man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
well, I'm
that
essentially thinking about
to.
A dead man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Pete's right. Essentially refusing to answer the question.
I said I've already done it, so that's my curse. Right, that's my footballing curse.
Not, something about Mike Ashley. Curse him in some way.
All right, I'll curse... No, I won't.
Well, we need to get out of it there.
Nearly got involved.
You probably just thought it.
Yeah.
Can we...
Yeah. Curse him later in the bath.
I've cursed him many a time in the past. Come on, Marcus, give us your answer.
Shall I do the listeners' highlights as usual, and then you guys can chip in with some of your own afterwards?
I mean,
does that work?
Don't care. It was probably everybody's highlight, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you're wrong.
Yeah, okay. I was a lot of Ajax fans that listened to this podcast.
You can imagine all you want, but you're wrong.
Prove it.
Pete, get Marcus to catch up, will you? Here's one from Ian McDonald. He says, got to be the clip of Diego Costa getting champagne in his eyes during the Chelsea celebration, then trying to rinse it out with Lucasade, and then telling the camera to fuck off.
I didn't see that. That's fantastic.
That is perfect, Diego Costa. As far as I know, he doesn't even really speak English that well. Yeah. So he's obviously learnt the important words.
He knows that one.
Yeah. Because Fabregas famously sweared in the post-match interview as well, didn't
he?
Yeah,
he said football is fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So yeah, that was a good spot, Ian.
fuck off.
But imagine with Diego Costa putting Lucas Aide in his eyes
to wash it out.
He would then think that was someone else's fault.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, yeah. one of the physios will probably get fired for that. Uh-huh. Matthew Innes, the guy
earlier. We know that Tom Cruise will be supporting Juventus, as he was at Atletico Madrid's new stadium and declared himself an Atleti fan.
Okay.
I've got beef with this.
Go on.
He's been spotted in the home end at the Bernabeu before.
Has he?
He has. I reckon he turned up and he forgot. He was handed the Atletico Madrid shirt and he's thinking... It's a bit of red in that. Normally it's all white, isn't it? Oh, wrong one.
Maybe he thinks it's a franchise like American Sports that's moved around.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Oh, you're Atletico now.
Does he think Juve are top guns?
Get out. I don't care if we are only two men. Get out.
It's risky business making a prediction at this stage.
Have you written these down?
Have I what?
All right. How many more have you got? Do you want to just get them out?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's dad jokes, but these are mummy jokes.
Nobody's that familiar. Nobody's that familiar.
Real Madrid,
he's in the new mummy film. I know he's in the new mummy
film. Real Madrid have certainly got more than a few good men.
I'm having that one.
Yeah, no. It'll be hard for Juventus to win, Pete, but it won't be Mission Impossible. You never know. Cristiano Ronaldo might have all the right moves. Seriously, that's all I've got. I'm done now. Yeah,
Luminic.
Yeah. Days of Thunder.
Yeah. That's just saying the title of a film. It's not the same film.
I mean, it's pretty much what you just did, to be fair, isn't it?
I've been more creative there, and I think the listeners will judge me on that.
Ronaldo. There we go. You see, it does mean something. It was the Champions League final in Cardiff. Real Madrid won 4-1. We witnessed the first side to retain the Champions League trophy. We needed to wait for this.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the retaining. I meant the game, because it was, of course, delayed by the Black Eyed Peas by 3 minutes.
I feel fans of football everywhere will agree it was worth it.
Yeah.
There used to be a girl at school whose favourite outfit, favourite artiste, favourite band were Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
And I was watching the Black Eyed Peas, and I thought, do you reckon anyone's favourite band is the Black Eyed Peas? Imagine the illness.
Pete, have you got any modern references?
What do you mean?
Have you got anything
the
modern?
The Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, you work for one of the biggest radio stations in the country.
Jamiroquai aren't that old, are they?
Come on.
No, but it's not that bad.
I'm just saying...
It's not a screwball scramble.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's just a weird band to be really into. Like, and I did think, like...
I know what you mean. Black Eyed Peas can't really be anyone's favourite band. No, people could think they're all right.
Pete, are they like the Alfie de Saint Pet of music?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
They actually seem to get a decent reception, though, which is a strange thing.
Mm. I don't know. I quite liked Jonathan Wilson in one of these articles.
He was going crazy on Twitter.
Yeah,
Right through. He's going, well, this isn't going to start on time. It didn't start on time.
Wait, he was right.
He was thinking... I've never seen him sound a bit about something. Well, he once shared a train journey with me. 3 hours.
He was animated after it, I'll tell you. Down the police station. In one of his articles, I love this, he said, quite why being the most important football match of the year isn't enough. Why it needs these adornments is bewildering.
Completely
after all,
agree.
This is a wonderful point. After all, concerts don't start with a quick game of five-a-side on the stage.
The
Jonathan, that is magnificent.
The reason he's annoyed is because in 15 years' time, when he's continuing to write like the history of football, he knows he's going to have to give him a mensch. Yeah. It was a lot simpler back in the 70s.
I got a feeling, Jonathan. I got a feeling. All right, then. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We're going to be back very soon with more Best of the Ramble Nonsense. 2017-18 is on the horizon, so do prepare yourselves. We'll see you next time. Isn't Marcus a big idiot? The biggest idiot on the podcast.
Oh, are you this all right, week, Marcus?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Are you having a problem with your brain? Do you want to get a calculator from the pound shop, you penis?
I think I'm fine. It was a perfect point.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.